With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back, everyone, to AFTV and the Forever Arsenal podcast. Let's get straight into it. Lee, you've got something to get off your chest. What is it, my friend?
Got nothing to get off my chest, like, you know what I mean? I'm not happy with you, of course.
Why?
Leaving
why?
Me to bed down for 10 minutes and then slagging me off and trying to get me points deducted. Other than that, I've worked out now that we signed Jorginho, not Juninho. So last time
I just gave you 10...
Thanks for the comment.
I just gave you 10 minutes to type the link in because you haven't heard of the copy and paste button.
I have worked that out, funny how it's taken me about 6 years, but I have now worked out to copy and paste. I'll tell you what I am going to copy. I'm going to copy this, and when I see you, I'm going to paste you. You know what I mean? That's where we're going to go, like, you know. But, yeah, I've worked out to do that, so I'm quite pleased. So, but listen, I'm going to say this now. When Turkish coming back, because, like, you know, as much as poor on timing he is, he does get the old the link up. You know, not with a minute to go, like, you know. I don't know what you lads think about this. It's not acceptable, really, is it? Come on.
Does it make you feel better if you have it 10 hours earlier?
No, about half hour early, so you can test out everything, make sure you know, because I'm the ultimate professional. I don't this slapdash stuff. I know, like, you youngsters are like that, but I don't know about, well, I'm pretty
well,
sure
it's got Shiroi's to be slapdash, and Jordan gets us here at 8 in the morning.
Huh? I mean, I've been up for 2 hours, to be fair, so most people in the world
freak,
are up.
You know, you're a freak.
I was up at 6:30, to be fair. But you
there
know
you go. So I was up early too, so it's not just me, mate.
Oh, you know, but you get points for that, getting up early, like, you weirdos, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know? Was it still dark out?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's cold, I know that.
It's freezing. But I know why you need the link early. I know why. I only realised today. For anyone, obviously you guys went backstage for the viewers. Lee jumped in. And he was practicing how to say Juninho for all of you. So.
Juninho. Oh, I've got it off to 18 now. Like,
He's there.
Well done, everyone. Welcome back to the...
Sorry, James, quick one. I was thinking last night.
Go on.
Sorry. It's just on Jorginho. Is he the first Italian we've signed?
No. I don't know about first Italian international. We've signed Manone. He didn't win the goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been younger because he was more of an academy prospect, wasn't he?
What was the forward we signed?
Italian?
Yeah, it was a forward. Come through, he was a youth player.
I don't know. I think Jorginho... I think Jorginho and Manone are the only Italians I've known or seen play for Arsenal.
There was another. He was a youngster, played up front. Put it in the comments.
Okay.
Can't think of his name, but I don't think we've had an Italian international, have we?
There you go. Our first ever Italian international at Arsenal. Jorginho.
Well, he's actually Brazilian.
Anyway.
Welcome,
everyone. Welcome back to the Forever.
Sorry to steal your thunder there, Jordan.
No, no worries.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. Go.
Power through. Obviously, it's more of a preview show today. We did go into a lot of detail around Arsenal's defeat to Everton, but also the fact that Man City perhaps did us a little bit of a favour. Well, Tottenham did us a big favour. Harry Kane, 167th and record-breaking goal did Arsenal a bit of a favour, which made that, I think, a bit easier for everyone to stomach. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus today and the prospect of him being back quite soon. Yes, Lee, I haven't even finished and your hands are. What do you want?
I just want to address something. Like, you know, a few people have thought I was very, very negative after the game against Everton. Like, you know, yes, I was, because, you know, I go game for game. But my mate come up with a fantastic point and it made me feel a little bit better. And I feel that I should share it with you guys, was that he actually said, he watched the show and he said that he was a bit down and all that. And I said, yeah, because of the performance and the way we played and obviously losing. And he goes, I'll tell you this now, Lee, he goes, it don't matter what team played, any team in the Premier League went to that game on Saturday, they would have lost. Don't matter if it was Manchester City, Tottenham, Chelsea, Manchester United, they would have lost that game. They was that good, Everton, you know what I mean? So, there you go.
I think it's got a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at it, I looked back on it and, you know, it was a fair assumption, really. So, listen, I was disappointed, but you know, the players have earned the right to go again and forget about that performance. And I have forgot about that performance now and looking forward to Brentford. That's all I have to say.
Intro take three. So we're going to talk about Jesus. And then we're going to preview the Brentford game. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was, I mean, we can't do it in two.
Just to cut you there again, James. I'm joking.
When is Turkish back? Because...
I'm joking.
I need him back to fill in.
Sorry, James. You're doing a great job. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much.
I wouldn't say great. He's doing a job, but no, I wouldn't say great.
And I'd like to touch on the Man United result because Shiroi and I declared them. What's the point?
mute everyone whilst you're doing the intro. Just mute everyone.
I forget I have that power. Hold on. There we go. We've shut up Jordan. Right, everyone quiet. Okay, I can finish this. We're going to talk about Man United's result, the title race, and how we're kind of foreseeing the rest of the season. Brilliant. Now you're back in.
Ah, very good. Very good.
We've got to do that. 6 minutes into the pod and Lee's...
You've got the power. You've used your power.
Thank you. I did. It is quite a good position, this. Okay, let's talk about Man United. They drew 2-2 Leeds. Fair play. A decent comeback. A video went out on the channel. We discussed it in a live show, Cecil and I, looking at kind of what fixtures were remaining. But it does fill me with hope. You know, Spurs... And City, you know, was a part of this, and now United with Leeds. And there's still a long, long way to go. But the fact that the gap is, I tell you what, 8 points of the game in hand doesn't sound as good as 7 points with two games in hand. You know, an opportunity for Man United to potentially cut that gap a little bit is gone. And it's just another little step forward for Arsenal. And these are the little things when you're battling out at the top, the results that, you know, everyone else gets, you know, they could be a little boost for us, and that's another little boost potentially going into Brentford, Troy.
Yeah, definitely. But I know it sounds cliche. This is that period of the season when you will get managerial changes and you will get teams at the bottom that have suddenly realised they have to get their arse in gear and they're fighting for their lives. So I can guarantee you that is not going to be the first result of that ilk from a team that's fighting for relegation. And we may be on the wrong end of one again at some point in the near future. I mean, and I completely understand what you're saying about how the table looks. I said on the last pod, and I said on the Big Six, that with United only 3 points behind Man City, I had actually started looking at them again because of the fact that we have to play Man City twice, and one, if not both, you know, will drop points at some point, right? And I think, quietly, although Manchester United fans may not have been articulating it and they might have been sitting on it, I think they also thought that they had an outside chance. But going 2-0 down last night, I'll be honest, at 2-0, because it was at Old Trafford, I wasn't nailed on that Manchester United were going to lose that game even at 2-0. I've seen it so many times over the years where they do come back. But the one thing I would say about last night, I know it's an Arsenal pod, but I do think that Ten Hag got it slightly wrong last night. I do think that he was largely to blame for their lack of attacking threat in the first half. I don't know why the hell you'd move Marcus Rashford out of position when he's been on fire since he's come back from the World Cup. And I think had he not made the substitutions that he'd made at that point in time, they may have gone on to win the game because they actually had, you know, all of the tailwind, and they couldn't get the result. So I kind of want to look at Arteta's mindset or use Arteta's mindset of us going game by game and not focusing on anyone else. As a football fan, you can't help it, man. You can't help but look at the table. You can't help but look at the fixtures to come. You can't help but look at how many points you can accumulate. The game by game thing is the ultimate professional mindset. But I'll be honest, I've never been able to do it.
No, no. And because it gives you an insight into, well, these are the tougher games. This is the probability. This is the chances. This is where we could be. I mean, I was looking at come the fixture on April 1st. I don't think it includes the game on April 1st. We have 9 games. 6 of them are at home. So it's a real opportunity for momentum to build now. The Everton game, the rematch, the second date with Sean Dyche has been booked in very soon. That's March the 1st. So there's some opportunities for Arsenal here to put together some momentum. And it starts with Brentford. If we can just chalk off the Everton game as a one-off, Arsenal can hopefully start to build momentum. We've actually got a history of losing to Everton and then going on a really good run. So touch wood, I haven't gone and jinxed that now. But you know, hopefully there's something there for Arsenal. Lee, how are you looking at these next 9 games or 6 at home as well in particular?
Well, Shiroi makes a fantastic point there because you should be like game from game, but you do look at the fixtures. You do, you know, as a fan, you look at the fixtures because you're playing what you're going to be doing as well, like, do you know what I mean? So it's not like you are looking at it as another, I use that as an excuse, like, you know. but we've got 9 games that we've got a very, very good chance of putting some points on the board, really points on the board. I think, looking at it, I think the one game you would look at in the next sort of few games, obviously the Man City game and the Liverpool away game, and the other games you'd fancy Arsenal to win with the form that they've been in. A couple of things on last night's game, and I think it's really where this Premier League is. If you're not on it, you will get caught out. And on that first 20, 25, well, first half, Leeds were really up for it. And Manchester United wasn't. They just thought like maybe that thing of, oh, when we turn up and we beat them. But I was very, very impressed with Leeds. And I don't think any team would have lived with Leeds in that first half. I thought they could have actually been more than 1-0 up. Like, you know, they'd have been a little bit disappointed about it. The second point is I was coming home listening on the radio. Sam Matterface, I'm calling this man out. I like to swear at him, like, you know what I mean? He actually said on TalkSport, you can have a go at him when you see him, Jordan. He went, oh, this is a massive opportunity for Manchester United with the form that Manchester City and Arsenal are in.
I heard that. I was driving as well and I heard that. And I thought, one loss. One loss.
The car. You know what I mean? Like the form that Arsenal are in, we've lost one game. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. And this is the mentality of what we've got to do. People think because we've lost one game, it's all terrible now. Like, you know,
maybe he's including the cup game.
Well, yeah, it could be. It could be looking at that. So it's 2-2. You know, so I could go on that, but like, you know, we're talking league games here. You know, and I just think at the end of the day, do you know what? They've all, you know, there's been a massive, I don't know. I'm not having a go at Newcastle here or Manchester United, but like, oh, Man United, they're back. Fantastic home form. 8 wins on the spin. Rashford doing this. Newcastle doing it. With Arsenal, oh, another test. We slip up. They slip up. You know, we don't seem to get the same sort of credit as other teams. So
I actually agree with that. I mean, you know, I guess different stages of a process. Arsenal have had Arteta for a long time, but I sort of know what you mean. And I've been very quick to praise Ten Hag. I mean, you know, because I think he deserves it.
I think
United have come a long way. He's done really well. But it sort of never gets mentioned. He did spend $230 million in his first window. And he did come into a club that only last season added Sancho, Varane, and already has some phenomenal players. Like, you know, Rashford is a good player, like a very good player, and credit to him for getting that out of him. But also, you know, it was just how bad the other managers were that made you realise he wasn't. Not that actually manager should be getting a lot out of Rashford. He's getting above and beyond, and that's where the praise is. I sort of know what you mean. You know, they've been on this amazing home run. But also look at, apart from Man City, look at the teams they've beaten in that home run. And, you know, by Arsenal are undefeated in the league at home. It's only Newcastle who have come and taken points off us. And even then, we were unlucky not to. I know what you mean. It feels like Arsenal have to do more to earn the praise. But I think when I've got that Arsenal hat on, I think maybe you just notice it that way. I think every fan feels that their club probably don't get the...
I just noticed it, like, you know, just saying, like, was put, when, you know, when he said that on the radio yesterday, and I think at the end of it, you know, Everton should take the praise for what they'd done against us. When I look back on it, they were fantastic, and yeah, I also thought Leeds yesterday were fantastic as well. Like, you know, if you look down at that bottom of the league, I think probably you'd say Southampton and Bournemouth for probably like two that will go. The next one there, I haven't got a clue, you know what I mean? And there's some big teams down there. So it's going to be interesting at the top, and it's going to be very interesting at the bottom as well.
Jordan, are you keeping an eye on United's results? Was yesterday a little boost for you? Was it a little like, oh, that's good? Keep them away.
Can I just first of all say that I'm not here on behalf of TalkSport, and anything that TalkSport say or puts out is I'm not responsible for. I'm trying to make that very, very clear. No. Is the answer, James. I'm not looking at United. Manchester United, for me, are not in the title race. They weren't in the title race. They never have been in the title race, as far as I'm concerned. I know people look at the table and they say the whole, oh, yeah, but X team, there's only Y points off the top. That's relevant to a degree. The eye test. I look at Manchester United and I don't see a team that I believe can win the Premier League, win the Premier League this season. I just don't see that team. I see a team that had a brilliant season. I agree with you. I think Ten Hag's done an amazing job. I don't think he's got anything wrong since he's got to United. I can't think of anything that he's done that he's got wrong. Nothing significant anyway. Okay, maybe a tactic here or there. But even in the Brentford and Brighton games they lost in the early part of the season, you could argue he was still trying to understand his team. He just arrived. So he maybe gets a slight pass even there. But no, I don't look at United. And I'm arguing with people that say to me, oh, of course they're in the race. Of course they're in the race. My response is always, well, if I'm on the starting blocks of a 100-meter final race with Usain Bolt in the next lane, does anybody in that stadium believe that I can win that race? I mean, I'm in the race. I'm in the race technically, but does anybody in that arena believe I can win that race? The answer is no. And it's the same here. United may be in the race because they're not miles off the top. But nobody really, for me, unless you're a diehard United fan who's hoping, no one for me really believes that United can overcome City and Arsenal and win this title. Listen, I could have egg on my face come into the season. I don't think I will. So for me, I don't look at their results. Last night, just for me, epitomised what I've always thought about United. A good team that is getting better, but you don't lose. You don't go 2-0 down to a Leeds team at home. Release team that is fighting relegation for me if you're serious about winning the title. So no, I don't look at their results.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I kind of get what you're saying. For me, just any little boost, anyone that feels like they're on the up, that's putting a run of wins together and is closing that gap to some degree on us or at least maintaining pressure. You know, we lost Everton, they won, so it closed it a little bit. I'm just happy to see that that gap diminish slightly. Yeah, go on, Lee.
Yeah, you know, I like what Jordan says there, but I disagree with him on this one, like, because, and I'll tell you why. I feel Man United a little bit like Arsenal were in 98, you know what I mean? They was brought in a few new players. Come January, we was 10 points off of it, lost to Blackburn at home, no real chance of winning the title, and then just put in an amazing run and come from behind and beat Man United, and deservedly so. So I get what you're saying that then, you know, like with the Usain Bolt, I like that. But if Usain Bolt sprints off and pulls his hamstring, there's a chance that you can win it. You know what I mean? And why they're still in there, Arsenal and Man City could beat each other up and, you know, lose confidence from that. Arsenal could, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, guys. And I mean this, and I don't mean this horribly, if Arsenal don't beat Brentford on Saturday, it wouldn't be like, I'm totally disappointed with that. You know what I mean? I think that
It would surprise me.
Yeah, Saturday's going to be a tough game, but... You know,
no, I agree.
Yeah, we're going to preview that in a sec.
So for me, like Man United, that was a, you know, they would have gone. Was it how many points have they gone? 5 points behind. We had a couple of games in hand on them. Like, you know, I'm just pleased that they dropped points yesterday. Like, I think that's a good thing for us going into the games that we had. So, any teams don't. The other thing with Man United, they've played us twice and they've played Manchester City twice. So
that's another reason why I don't think they're in as well, because they can't take points, Lee, off of us or City.
No, they can't. But
when we drop points, they can capitalize because
So I think that was a nice little boost for us going into the weekend, that result yesterday.
Brentford at home, the next game. We've got then City at home next week. Trips to Villa, Leicester, and then Arsenal at home to Everton, and then at home to Bournemouth. And I think that's what I mean. I mean, that's four of the next six are at home. And then we've got Fulham away, Palace at home, Leeds at home. That completes the next nine games. So a lot of home fixtures then. And that takes us to around, you know, match week 30. And we're looking ahead at Liverpool and sort of what's left there. So it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. Oh, it does mean a tougher run to the end. It does mean Liverpool away, West Ham away, Southampton home and Man City away are the four after that. And then we end the season with Chelsea at home, Newcastle away, Brighton at home, Forest away, Wolves at home. But still a lot of football to be played.
Sorry, James. Who are the next five games?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Brentford at home, City at home, Villa away, Leicester away, Everton at home. I'm going to chuck in Bournemouth at home after that as the sixth. Just so.
And the fixtures are quite interesting because you get Europa knocking about in there as well. And they plonked the Everton game, I think, March the 1st. That wasn't scheduled until yesterday or the day before. So we do have, I think, 2 8- or 9-day periods where you've got three games.
So can we play Lee's game of predicting how many points we think we'll get in the next five games?
Game by game, no? But we can.
Chris Hudson absolutely hates this, by the way. I saw him tweet overnight. He was like, why do people keep trying to predict how many points we're going to get over the next five? Just think about the next one. He's the opposite of me. He's the ultimate professional. Just focus on the next game.
No, Chris is right. Chris is right.
In fairness, when we used to do it, we did it a lot last season on the pod. And I think it was more of a, what should Arsenal do? Arsenal had a really terrible start to the season and we were more setting targets. It was more, right, of these four, you've got to win three of them. You know, because it was a case of, what's Arteta got to do to start making us feel like the team is going in the right direction? Now it's more, what would we like? what do we think? You know, things are great, aren't they? That kind of thing. But last year was a case of, okay, Arsenal really need to do something, kind of what's acceptable. But yeah, we're going to go into the Jesus chat. What were you going to say there, Shiroi? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say on the last pod, Jordan said that he feels if we beat Brentford and then beat Man City, he thinks we're probably going to win the league. And that's when he'll start sort of really believing. So, I mean, I was thinking about it after the pod and I actually probably feel the same. I think this Brentford game, look, I mean, there's now an ever so slight hint of vulnerability because of the Everton loss. Because the performance wasn't quite up there either, right? It wasn't just the result. The Manchester United loss was just the result. But this, I think this is also why Lee was so upset. It was actually the performance that he was quite disheartened by. So if we don't necessarily rectify that against Brentford, and what I mean by that is get the 3 points and a good performance, then Manchester City might come to the Emirates feeling as though they have a sniff. Whereas if we are very dominant against Brentford and get the 3 points, that Everton game really is then written off. That is the anomaly. And that wasn't at the Emirates. Then Manchester City come to us and we have a very, very strong psychological advantage. If we were then to beat them, I sort of agree with Jordan. I think that's just one too many body blows for them to recover from, particularly with what's going on around their club right now. I'm not entirely sure what the headspace of the players will be. It can go one of two ways. It can be the whole world's against us, let's rally together. Or it can be I know that we might not be going down, but would you reckon you could just see if they're in the office for the end of the season, just in case this goes left? Do you know what I mean? It could be one or the other. So I'm curious to see what their response is. And that's why I think maybe not the next five, but certainly the next two are of heightened importance.
Yeah, and actually, if we don't do the job against Brentford, they've got Villa at home. I'm expecting them to win that game. And that means a win at the Emirates could put them above us or level with us. We've not done
that
our job.
That would be a massive psychological thing.
So, yeah, that is huge. That is huge.
Also, James, just like bringing it up about this Man City, like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what happened. But I honestly think that they may be looking at this and thinking this is our last chance to win the Champions League. You know what I mean? We've got a really... This is it, you know what I mean? Like, if it goes wrong, they could get relegated, you know, and that means no Champions League football and whatever. If so, they actually could like focus a lot more. I know that, and they are focusing on the Champions League, but they might have to feel that they could focus on that even more. So this could
be a bit
of an advantage to us.
I agree with Lee. I think actually that's been their focus from the start of the season. I think their focus has always been squad-wise, we're transitioning to a new phase of Man City being dominant in the league. I think they're thinking that the Champions League is a cup competition, that the squad they have, even in transition, is good enough to win the Champions League. I think that's always been the focus and priority this season.
I think Martin Ziegler, though, said that it could take 2 to 4 years for this whole thing to be to be resolved. So, I know what you mean. Maybe Man City might feel anyway, look, we know that this is happening and, you know, we've got the group now that have got 4 out of 5 titles. Maybe we just prioritise that a little bit more. But, I feel like it could be a while to its resolved. Shiro, I was going to ask you... you know, maybe at another time, but you know, while we've got you here, from an Arsenal perspective, I know it sounds crazy, you know, trying to take the Man City situation and just sort of apply it to Arsenal, but, you know, we have had, there have been reports and murmurs of FFP keeping a little eye on Arsenal. Do you think this is anything that kind of we need to worry about? Do you think this is going to be setting a trend in football now that, you know, this is... they're going to be tighter on this kind of thing? I saw what you said on Big Six, that we spoke brutally about it, and the whole independent regulator coming in potentially and that having an impact on the way the Premier League are acting might be a part of it. But I just wondered whether you think there's an Arsenal angle in any way, shape or form that we should be considering.
I think a lot of teams have sort of been really, really close to the grey when it comes to financial fair play, and I think that's when you do appear on the watch list. I'm sure that City aren't, but being close to the grey is very different to not declaring the income of your manager, for example. You know, that ultimately is just fraud. So from the Arsenal angle, what I would say is operate within the realms of the law insofar as you can. But if you want to stay on the right side of the financial fair play argument, one thing that I think the club have realised is they have to prioritise player sales. Because if we're not bringing in value for players when we're letting go of them, it does make it very hard for us to acquire our targets because we're going to have to shell out. We're not bringing in the revenue from the outgoings. And I think that's one thing that we've done brilliantly. So it seems as though we are trying to stay on the right side of financial fair play from an Arsenal angle. Because if I look at the squad value now and the amount of promising young players that we brought in, many of whom we didn't actually pay anything for because they're academy prospects, or we paid relatively low fees for in the scheme of things. Saliba as an example, bringing him in, a lot of people said, well, you're paying a fair bit for someone that age, aren't you? But how much does he go for now?
So it's Martinelli.
Yeah, exactly. Martinelli's another. Martinelli was what, six million?
Six million.
I mean, there are a number of them that where you can use that example and say, you know what, actually that sort of signing is very astute if you want to stay on the right side of things for financial fair play. And the only other point that I would make is I understand that Manchester City appear to have done wrong with 100 potential charges, right? And just going to timing, one of the problems there was actually non-disclosure. and non-cooperation with the Premier League investigation. So if you're talking about establishing over 100 charges and that arbitration panel also getting the disclosure that it seeks to be able to determine 100 charges, I do find it very unlikely for this to be resolved quickly, even if people have the best intentions to do so. This is going to be a very, very long, drawn-out process. If it was one accusation, it would be quite straightforward to determine, but we're talking over 100 here. It's a fair bit.
Can I just add, James, just briefly as well? I think it's a really interesting point about, I don't know what Arsenal's finances are, but the Saliba, the kind of the scrutiny on clubs and what they're spending and what they have and what's going out, I think will be heightened more than ever. And I always like to think, because Arsenal and Arsene Wenger ran the club like it was their own personal fiefdom, I like to think that we are nowhere near the brink or precipice of breaching any particular financial rules. I mean, we've been crap for 20 years. So at least if we've been crap for 20 years, at least tell me that, okay, we're at least financially, you know, well run. That's the one upside, I guess, to not having any prems in the last two decades. But the Saliba contract is an interesting one for me, because Shiroi kind of touched on it there. If we are not as prudent as I think and I hope we are, do we have to maybe sell an asset in order to balance books? And I think talk around Declan Rice is quite strong. Can we go big in the summer for two or three marquee signings as potential Premier League champions whilst also maintaining contracts that we currently have? Do we have to sacrifice and make profit on Saliba? Do you know what I mean? To potentially get a Rice or somebody.
I have a feeling, sorry to cut you, John, that I have a feeling that there is going to be one or two surprise sales this summer. I have a feeling the squad's got itself in a good place, and to replenish it, it'll be a case of sort of one or two bigs out and one or two bigs in, you know. And I don't want to, people will be up in arms in the comments. What, you can't sell him? I think if Balogun doesn't sign a new contract, you know, I think there's a good chance that they might sort of look to make a decision while it's stock so high.
Tierney may want to go.
Tierney may be one of them. And don't hate me, people. Smith Rowe doesn't, you know, get
fit. I've said this on two occasions, guys. Smith Rowe, and I said Balogun. I can see them both leaving in the summer. I'm not saying I want them to go. But I said to you at the start of the season, I think Smith Rowe won't be at Arsenal next season. I don't think he'll be there next season. One, because I just don't think he can start for us. But two, there's profit to be made there.
Supremely talented players who I would love to keep at the club. Tierney as well. But if they don't quite fit the way Arteta wants to play, and I'm not saying they don't, by the way. You know, but Smith Rowe and Balogun, why not? Tierney does in a different way to Zinchenko. You know, but their stock's really high and big offers are coming in, and Arsenal are trying to get in there. You know, Arteta is trying to get his Van Dijk and Alisson moment now, isn't he? He's trying to get that level of player in. Are they really going to turn away from that? So, well, I guess we'll discuss that nearer the summer. But I think when we do, and if stuff pops up, just remember that we're all projecting this a little bit. But we'll see. That's a slightly more negative side of the transfer window. Let's look ahead to Brentford and the fact that, you know, they won 3-0 in their last game. They've generally been very solid this season, especially in big games. They got a result against Chelsea. They got a result against Spurs. They beat City at the Etihad. They beat United 4-0. They've got players that they're sort of like everything you hate to play, because they can be really solid with a back three and a really compact dynamic midfield. They've also got wing-backs that can really stretch the pitch. They've also got real threats in the front line, whether it be Tony, whether it be Mbeumo, Vissa as well. They've got a few there. Damsgaard, though, I don't know how much he's played, but we know he's a talented player. So they've got some real threats there. And I'm going to be going into every game saying this is a tough game, because just in a title run, and you're never going to hear me go, yeah, easy 3 points. But this, I think, legitimately is a test of Arsenal's ability to just stay patient and break down a very stubborn side that are very accomplished in the Premier League now.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to sort of rest on the fact that we've beaten them 3-0 at their own gaff too much, because if people remember when that took place, very soon after the Queen's death, and there was a minute silence at the beginning, and the Brentford owner, the fans, the manager all came out and said, look, we're not here to make excuses. You were the better team on the day. But we mean it when we say that our atmosphere really does mean the world to us when it comes to starting games. And there was just something a bit flat that day. We all felt it. And Arsenal came, held us at range, ultimately professional, and dispatched us. But it will not be the same at the Emirates. Their fans will be loud. Their fans will be up for it. I think I might be wrong, but I don't think they've lost in the league since the end of October.
Having a little look now.
Wow.
And I'm also seeing...
Since the World Cup, they're top of the form guide.
Eight or nine Premier League games. I don't think they've lost in the league since the end of
October. Oh, my word, they are.
They won at the Etihad, don't forget. This wasn't beating a City team in Brentford. They went and got a 2-1 result at the Etihad. And they're currently occupying European places. So if anyone thinks they are just a bus stop in Hounslow, as Thomas Frank described them, you're sadly mistaken. This is going to be a tough game. But go on.
They're in great form.
Yeah.
I just knew from following results weekly. Yeah, Brentford are in good form, aren't they? They're in unreal form. You know, they beat Liverpool 3-1. They beat West Ham 2-0. It was a 2-2 draw with Tottenham. And just a quick look at the lineups. They're transitioning between a back three and a back four. So they're showing some real tactical flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, they're a very difficult team to beat. But look, if you look at what Eddie Nketiah, William Saliba said after the last game, they basically come out and said, look, we're going to make sure we win this one. You know, I know they're just words, but if the players are hurting after a loss and the players really, really want to get those 3 points and we're at home, I back us to do it. I back us to do it.
Yeah, you got to. Ivan Toney, how does he match up as... you know, so against Saliba and Gabriel, I thought they did really well away from home to deal with the aerial threat. They went long a lot. They went for the switch a lot. I thought they dealt with that really well. This is a game where we're going to have even more of the ball than we did in that game. And I think we were pretty dominant in that one. Probably one of our best away performances of the season. But it was, you know, we're going to have more of the ball against them at the Emirates and maybe a degree of complacency or, you know, sometimes concentration can go. And Ivan Toney's the kind of player who can, I just think he could just cause you problems. He's physical. He's a great passer of the ball. You know, he scores goals as well. One you're particularly keeping an eye on, Lee?
Yeah, obviously, like, you know, I think that Calvin Lewin caused us all sorts of problems on Saturday and same similar sort of profile, like, you know. But listen, we went to Brentford last time, remember the game, and, you know, we're just on the back of that Man United defeat. And when we get to the ground, there was the rumours that Odegaard weren't playing, which become true, and Vieira come in and scored, you know. I am worried about this game because, one, we lost to Everton. But even if we'd have beaten Everton, I've been worried about this game because my set is what do we do come Wednesday as well? And I think that fans and everybody is now slightly got one eye on Wednesday. And I think that it's in the fascinating thing on Saturday for me will be the lineup. We look at the lineup and we go, yeah, it's basically the same we all expect it to be. But I don't know if he's going to make... I touched on this last time, that I think that does he make a couple of changes with one eye on Wednesday, like, you know?
Because I'd be very upset. I'd be very upset if I'm being honest with you. And that sort of goes back to what I'm talking about in terms of not allowing City to feel any sense of vulnerability when they come to the Emirates. If we depart from our first 11 for this Brentford game, and God forbid we drop points, that makes the City game so much more important and so much more difficult. I totally agree.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Sure, I wouldn't be surprised at 2 o'clock that Trossard's in instead of Martinelli.
I would.
And Tomiyasu's in place of Ben White. I wouldn't be surprised. Whether I would want it or not, I don't know. I think that he may not. You know what I mean? If I'd be honest, I wouldn't myself. I'd go big in both games. It's the best team. Also, that tells you that, in my eyes, it tells you you can play 3 games a week and not worry about it, like, you know, because, you know, you beat Manchester City, you've got, I don't care what anybody says, if we win their next 2 games, we've then got Aston Villa and you've got the Uri Emery thing, and at some stage there will be a little bit of a tinker. And I don't know. I'm just putting it out.
What you just said, Lee, about, keeping an eye on the next game. I'm not sure. I'd be really disappointed if he did that. I also think even if he sort of made those changes and won, I don't know what, I was going to say, I don't know what kind of message it sends. It might send the message, look, we can rotate, we're still brilliant. It might send the message of, look how worried we are about City. I don't know. But more so, I kind of want him to just go, it's Brentford. I know you said that maybe there's an eye on the City game. I'll be really honest. I personally haven't, I haven't thought about it. Well, I mean, I know I was just projecting the upcoming games, admittedly. But I mean, my honestly, I'm just like, Brentford, I really hope we beat them.
I really agree, but I'll put this scenario to you. I'll put this scenario to you, like, you know, what would you prefer to have? Partey playing against Brentford or Man City?
Well, okay.
But what happens if he plays against Brentford and he breaks down? Which,
sure. So you were talking about changes, but I think that might be the only change we do see, because came off injured against City, didn't complete the game against Everton, you know, and Jorginho, experienced Premier League player, didn't have the greatest of cameos, though I think probably got the criticism a little bit too harsh on him. But I think he's a player that Arteta legitimately trusts, even though he's only had him like a week. So I could see Jorginho playing that game.
I'd go the other way. I'd go the
so
other
would
way.
I. So would
if
I.
Partey plays against Brentford, fine. If I see Trossard and Tomiyasu, the ones that Lee mentioned, I don't think that's rotating because of fitness. I think that's form. I think he's actually saying that, no, you know what? Ben White and Martin looked a bit off it, and I think this is my strongest team, at which point I wouldn't be asked. My only point is to play the team that you think is your strongest team. I'm not here to question what you think that is. I don't see them train day in and day out.
Yeah.
But if you're going Trossard and Tommy, I actually don't think it's fitness. I think if he's done that, it's because he thinks that's the best 11.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I wouldn't be disappointed to what Lee's point about him rotating. I'd be fuming. I'd be so angry if you're... By the way, my girlfriend's from that area, Brentford. So if we lose this game, I won't be in the end of it. So there's no way we can lose this game, if only for my fucking sanity. But I'd be fuming if you're... the Man City game, it sounds wild. I don't care. I don't care. This game is huge. This game is so, so big. If we drop points in this game, we're in trouble. We are in trouble, because I'm actually even convinced that City necessarily beat Villa on the weekend. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion, but no. City will be the favourites. If we don't win this game, we are in trouble. Not only because City will smell blood, but then you have a very young, inexperienced team at Arsenal thinking, oh, actually, are we that good? Can we go all the way? Can we get it over the line? And then you get the PTSD of last year. I wasn't concerned. I said to Lee in the last pod, I wasn't concerned about the Everton loss, because I see it in my mind as a one-off. If we don't beat Brentford, it then becomes part of a bigger problem. And then I am concerned. Then I am worried. If he rotates if he rotates or doesn't pick his best team against Brentford, I'm fuming. I'm fuming. And I'm totally with Shiroi.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Partey is our most important player. If you give me the choice of play Partey against Brentford or against Manchester City, Brentford. It's Brentford.
Oh, also, if Arsenal ain't to not to win this game for whatever reason, would you then bring in the cup game? As like, you know, lost momentum. It's now three games without a win. Or do you still keep that one separate?
Lee, go on. It's funny because... Sorry. I'm saying this success on the live. You can look at it how you want. So on the one hand, you could say, we've just lost to Everton, but wow, what a January we had. You know, and even just before that, since the World Cup, West Ham, Brighton, draw in Newcastle, then we beat Spurs and United. You think that's a fantastic run. Well done. You could also flip it and go, Arsenal have only won two of their last five. They won two of their last five. Spurs, United, drew in Newcastle, lost to City, lost to Everton. Actually, maybe that's the bad form Sam Matthews is talking about. You know, I'm a glass half full guy, and I hope Arteta is, you know, having that kind of mindset around the place rather than saying, you know, you've only won two of your last five. We need to turn this around. This is bad form.
It's very interesting because 5 minutes from the end of the game at Everton, you know, I was doing me nut a little bit, and a fella turned around and said to me, "This is all because of that FA Cup game. We've lost momentum."
I disagree.
I didn't agree with it.
I don't agree.
I sort of brushed it aside a little bit and said, no, that didn't really, you know, matter and whatever.
But I don't agree.
But if we was to lose at Brentford, was not to get a result against Brentford, that's the question I'm asking. And we're just thinking it's just Everton and Brentford, or are we bringing that Manchester City game into it?
Lee, I think the media narrative will be, because they didn't put their best team out against City, that triggered the next two results. I think, as we all agreed, I think, at the start of this pod, I think we lose that Everton game regardless. It was a game where Everton were just on top. I think if we'd have beaten City and knocked them out of the cup, I still think we'd have lost that Everton game. So yeah, I wouldn't attribute that cup defeat.
There's also, look, we lost against PSV and then came straight back. We got dumped out of the Carabao Cup and then pretty much came straight back. That didn't interrupt momentum. And those were cup competitions where, you know, form and momentum are equally applicable.
Great point. Right?
So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, all right, well, we'll go into some predictions now. We were going to touch on Gabriel Jesus. Let's just remind ourselves of where we are with the league table. Showed it last show. Anyone watching or listening on audio platforms, Turkish still top with 28 points. Lee second with 26. Jordan with 22. And Shiroi last with 20. Embarrassing, mate. Embarrassing. Yeah. Do you want my points, Shiroi? Because quite frankly, I'm sort of sick of paying Lee judges money.
To be honest, every time I've come on here, I haven't got one right either. So I'm not much better than you, so don't worry.
It seems to be the more you know your football, the more you get wrong.
Oh!
Isn't it, Shiroi?
Isn't it fascinating?
I'm staying out of this one.
I've never thought of it that way. Something in that.
Load of crap.
As we get our comments of the week ready. Just anyone want to just a quick word on Gabriel Jesus? I mean,
can I have a quick word on Jesus? I'm not even worried about it at this moment in time. And I'll tell you why. I'm not even going to rely on him, because look at Smith Rowe. Been out for a long while, comes back injured again. Like, you know, I'm what will be. I think that the good thing for me is if Jesus comes back and he's on the bench for every game, that gives us an option, like, you know. But relying on him, I think he's a fantastic player. But
not necessarily relying upon him, but very quickly, the fixtures that you rattled off, James, that sort of take us up to the slightly more difficult fixture list on paper, that sort of coincides with the projected return date of Gabriel Jesus, right? So if we're looking at a wonderful script, it's, all right, you got through a tough but a doable run of fixtures, and you're about to get to crunch time in the title race, and your main man comes back and gives you that lift that everyone needs, right? So I'm hoping that's how it works out. I'm quietly hoping that's the fairy tale, but as you say, anything can happen on the road to recovery, so I don't want to get too gassed about it.
Yeah.
All right, score predictions and comments of the week. Shiroi, what are you going for? Brentford at home.
2-1 Arsenal. I think we concede a fair few at home. We haven't kept as many clean sheets as I'd like, and I also think that Brentford defensively will be relatively resolute, so it's not going to be as free scoring, I don't think. Now that I've said that, it probably won't happen.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. And I know we've not gone in any particular order whatsoever there, so I've completely messed it up. But go on, Lee.
I'm torn between 2-1. Exactly what Shiroi said there. We do concede goals at home. He don't get them right, does he, Shiroi? He's a bit like yourself and Jordan. So this,
so rude.
I can't even argue.
I'm gonna stick my neck out and go 2-0, but a very, very tough 2-0. And I wouldn't surprise if Brentford scored first.
I'm gonna play tactical here because I'm gonna try and win this league. I'm gonna go 1-1. I'm gonna go 1-1. I'm gonna go 1-1.
I'm nervous of that, by the way. I'm nervous of Arsenal find it really hard to get a goal, but they get something. But actually, Brentford have caught us on the counter, and it's. But anyway, we'll see. But Arsenal have responded well this season. They have responded well to defeats or bad results of some sort. You know, two bad performances.
It's a massive game, man.
Yeah, massive.
Yeah,
it's huge, man. It's
I remember when Arsenal. They won at Leeds, having not played well, in my opinion. They drew at Southampton. They weren't great for a lot of that game. and then we beat Forest 5-0, then we won 1-0 at the Bridge. You know, Arsenal have it in them to, you know, respond really well when they hit a bit of a lull. And I hope Arteta, whatever he's doing behind the scenes, that is getting that reaction out of them, goes for that again. Let's go for comments of the week. I'm going to kick things off. Yesavi again.
What have you gone for? What have you predicted?
I said 2-1.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Well, you don't listen.
Only when you're talking.
got super chat from Yesavi from the live show. Again, he's not even putting his best comments in the comment section. Fair enough, but he's enjoying the live show. You'll catch it. You're getting them from all angles, Jordan. But Yesavi was... He sent in the comment last show about Jorginho and the, you know, having another player whose name you won't mention. And he's gone for a similar kind of theme. He's gone for, I really hope Jordan doesn't become an announcer at the Emirates. You can see what this is. We can't afford to play with 10 men against Brentford. As he won't say Xhaka's name. So he's getting creative with them. I like it.
Very good.
Go on. Who wants to go next? Lee?
Yeah, I've got one from N. Merezzi. I hope I've got that right, like, you know, because I didn't get a lot right in the last few shows. He says, first it was Chinchenko, and now it's Nino. Got to love Lee Jones. So, and also, we haven't mentioned Jorginho once today. Like, you know, I haven't anyway. Like, you know, so I thought,
between you and Robbie, by the way, has anyone seen on AFTV clips the... you know, Robbie's sort of list of names from the January transfer window?
No, not yet. But I will
go watch that. That is world class.
he gets pulled up on it as well, like, you know, but you know, it's something that
he butchered 15 names.
People don't like you butchering names, do they? Like, there's
oh, I wonder why.
You know, like, you can say something like, you know, I don't know, something
controversial,
that's okay. But if you butcher someone's name, you're the old butchering police are out on you, and you have to get it right. You know, it's something like, I am.
To be fair, when Robbie was calling Vinicius Vincentius, I think people have a point.
that's just a different name completely.
No, you've got to watch it.
I'm gonna watch that.
Head to AFTV clips. It's titled something like Robbie butchering name after name after name. Go watch that video. It's world class. I'm very conscious we've got a couple of minutes. I'm waffling on about other videos, but it's worth a watch. Jordan, what have you got?
I've got one commenting from Dom. He says, this isn't a slight at Jordan and Lee, which then means obviously it is. but James's football knowledge is brilliant. Never panics and always sees each game for what it is. Why I rate him higher than everyone else at AFTV?
Thank you, Mum. Thank you so much. She did as I asked. Who was that? Who sent that in?
That was from Dom. Dom,
thank you.
Dom Baylis, that was like that.
Spot on,
yeah. that wasn't the only one like that. There was another one from PVVY Concepts that says James is the youngest amongst the crew, but he's the most intelligent in his analysis. So it seems like they liked you last week, but that isn't the one that I'm going for.
Why bloody mention it then? Like, I mean,
he stepped in as the host. He's covered for his boy Turkish. Let's give him the props where they're due, man. Let's give him the props. We've got another one. Marvelous Akiode 3438. I look forward to seeing a midfield pivot of he who I shall not name from Jordan and for Lee, he who I simply cannot name.
Brilliant.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. It was his name brilliant. Coming for him, like, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I cannot name. Yeah. That is amazing. That is amazing. All right, we've got to conclude there. Everyone has busy days to get on with, but deliver a nice 51-minute show. The predictions are in. It's Brentford at home. How are you all feeling about Man United's drop points? Do you not care? Or do you think it's another little psychological boost, a little helping hand as Arsenal try to pick up form at a time where they really need it, because it's a big opportunity these next 9 games, as I touched on. We'll leave it there. Big thanks to everyone who's joined. Shiroi, brilliant. Lee, brilliant. Jordan, brilliant. Big thank you to all of you. Amazing comments as always. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.